I guess we can just say the trade today had a lot to do with the algos. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Arlen Suderman joins us today with StoneX. And we did, of course, see that limit down action in the cattle market, but just trade in general. Arlen, let's start there with these algos and how much control they have over the marketplace at this point.
It's a lot of control over the marketplace, as we saw and well displayed today. And we need to remember that somewhere around 90% of some of these commodity markets are traded by computers with no human intervention. When you look at the livestock sector, it's well over 50%, it's believed to be. And that's a thinner volume market. And so it makes it easier for them to really move the markets. These computers are owned by the speculative funds as well as others. And they put on their trades automatically based on either chart signals or news headlines or social media posts or whatever it may be, depending on how they're programmed. And so you can get a situation where maybe social media post starts triggering some selling, and then the chart signals start to fall. And so that triggers momentum selling trading algos to put in sell orders. And it can really perpetuate itself. And we saw that in full display in the cattle market today, which ended up weighing on the hog market as well.
So as you look at that cattle market too, but does it go beyond just that and a lot of that hearsay talk when it comes to the border with Mexico and the uncertainty pressure that it's putting on?
Well, I don't think we would have got this type of reaction in the market that we've seen over the last 10 days, the 2 weeks, if the funds did not hold major long positions in the markets, and in some case record long or ownership positions. That's what made them nervous. When they're all leaning in the same direction in the boat, that's when they get nervous about getting caught off guard. And when the president starts talking every day about gotta lower beef prices as a factor in inflation, you start getting nervous if you're on the other side of that, benefiting from those high beef prices. What's he going to do? We keep hearing President Lula of Brazil saying we're only days away from an agreement with the United States to lower that 50% tariff, which could bring us a flood of beef from Brazil. We keep hearing Secretary Rollins saying she has no date in set for opening the Mexico border, but yet she's in Mexico this week meeting with President Sheinbaum, and President Sheinbaum has been very responsive to our demands for the most part. And we know that even according to Secretary Rollins, that President Trump is, quote unquote, highly focused on reopening the border. And so there's just concerns of these speculative funds holding big long positions in the cattle market that, A, we could see a flood of Brazil beef at any point, and B, we could see the border with Mexico open up, increasing the supply of feeder cattle, and they might get caught on the wrong side, particularly if that would happen over a weekend or something like that.
Well, speaking of trade, isn't the whole Supreme Court event taking place today and then Trump's people kind of talking before them?
Yeah, exactly right. This is something that's been going through the court system for quite some time now. Three cases brought on by businesses affected by the tariffs, as well as 12 individual states, primarily Democratic states, challenging the Trump tariffs that were based on the Emergency Powers Act and the legality of those tariffs. This has now come to the Supreme Court level. So this is the final level, final deciding point. The Supreme Court heard the arguments this morning. We heard really grilling questions of the Trump administration lawyers by Supreme Court justices appointed by both conservative and liberal presidents. So both sides of the aisle, so to speak, were really grilling the Trump administration. I don't know if we can read from that which way it go. I had said previously that I felt like there was better than 50% odds that this ruling would go against President Trump, based on how the Supreme Court has been ruling over the past year on various cases. I'm not a legal expert, but just making some observations. They've been giving more power to Congress and taking power away from the executive branch to make decisions. But the administration was building their case largely on the arguments made by an Obama-appointed judge at the appeals court level when the appeals court rejected the Trump administration earlier this year. This was the dissenting argument made by this Obama-appointed judge, arguing that this Emergency Powers Act does give the president clause to do in wide scope freedom to do something like this. So that may present the opportunity or a pathway the Supreme Court could go in order to rule in its favor. So the bottom line is we don't know. The implications are significant, but we do know the Trump administration has already said they are ready to go with other legal pathways for keeping the tariffs in place. Those will surely be challenged in court over a period of months, most likely, that probably won't near-term change a whole lot of about the trade situation.
And enthusiasm, I kind of like that they're using that word, enthusiasm, with China and trade.
Yeah, exactly right. There was some enthusiasm today supporting the grain and oilseed markets, led by soybeans, double-digit gains there. There had, you know, some excitement initially that China had reportedly bought some soybeans, bought some wheat, expected to be signing grain, their state grain buying agency, private crushers not believed to be buying any because U.S. soybeans are still overpriced relative to Brazilian soybeans. China had been relatively quiet otherwise about the agreement. We did see China today lower the retaliatory tariffs that they'd put on back in May, lowered them from 20% to 10%. We had hoped that they were going to totally remove them. They did not. The market got excited about that reduction, saying it gave validity to China, you know, accepting the agreement. Unfortunately, though, it still keeps U.S. commodities, especially soybeans, too expensive, more than a dollar per bushel more expensive than Brazilian old crop soybeans.
Wonderful. As we look at this marketplace, lots of things are going to be happening in the trade. Arlen, what do you see as the one thing we need to think about, though, as we head towards the weekend?
Well, as we head toward the weekend, I think we're going to continue to follow China's actions. And it's going to be primarily rumors because we're not going to have flash sale reports. But we can tell a lot from what's happening in the cash markets as well as the basis and spreads markets and whether China is buying. And ultimately, that's going to have a big impact leading up to next week's WASDE crop report that will be coming out from USDA despite the partial government shutdown.
Thank you so much. Arlen Suderman joining us with StoneX. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That is the Wednesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.